Hey guys, welcome to the Fellowship Greenville Students Podcast. This week, Bob Greer will be sharing with us in our My Story series. He sums up his story with the word mercy and shares how God used so many things throughout his life to lead him to having new affections for people and new affections for God. We will look at Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 5, and how God is rich in mercy, making us alive with Christ. We hope you enjoy this message.
I'm here today just to tell how I experienced mercy in my life. And so, like, right away, right off the bat, that's my theme is mercy. So let me just pray real quick before we get started. Father God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the mercy you have shown me. And I pray that you would use my words to glorify your Son and to cause us to grow in our faith and trust in him. It's in his name we pray. Amen. So if we're going to start with mercy as our theme, let's define it real quick. Let's define it as Christians would define it. So we would say mercy is God not punishing us as our sin deserves and deliverance from judgment. There's a scripture passage I'd like to use today to build around and tell my story around. The overall section is Ephesians 2. Verses 1 through 6, but we'll look at the first half right now, and I'm just going to go ahead and read it. So Paul says in his letter to the Ephesians, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind." And we read that, and some of those words may fall on us and make us feel uncomfortable. Paul, you're saying I'm dead in sin, or I once was, and that I was worthy of God's wrath. So my story starts in a non-Christian home. I was raised in a small town in Illinois. Me and my mom and my two sisters. It was a bit of a broken home. My mom was married like four times. Didn't really have a father figure around most of the time. But I grew attached to her brother, my uncle. His name was Jim. And we became so close that I would even say he was my best friend. And so, like, just about anything he did, I was always right there with him, trying to be around him as much as I could. I was still pretty young. He was helping my grandparents put up an antenna at their house. And back in the days when I grew up, and we used to put antennas on our houses so you could get TV reception, you know, so you could pick up channels on your TV. Anybody remember that? There's probably at least one. Or, yeah, all right. Woo. Three people. Anyhow, so the idea was you put up this tall antenna and as big as it could be, right? And it would receive signal and you could get more channels on your TV. That I know everybody understands. So that's what he was doing. He was helping to do that. And so it's a tall thing. And he was up there wiring it or doing something with it. And it became detached from wherever it was and it started to fall, right? And he grabs hold of it and he's hanging onto it. And it falls into a power line. And he's electrocuted and he's killed immediately. I don't think I actually saw this happen, the whole event, but I was right there as it did happen. And as you can imagine, that's a tragic event, right? That's a tragic event. It's kind of affected our whole family, his parents, my grandparents, my mom. And I remember my mom, especially, like she really wanted some answers and some, like, just she couldn't find it. She had no comfort and peace. And she turned to this other stuff. And she really got, and I'm not kidding, like, some of y'all would kid about these things, but this was a real life that I grew up in. Like, she got involved with like occult practices where she would search out, like, trying to speak to spirits and the dead, you know, I don't know. But it was real to her, and that's where she was trying to find her answers. About the time I started middle school, she met her last husband, and we all moved to Tennessee. So it's, you know, grew up with this life. My best friend is dead. Now we're moving to Tennessee as I'm starting middle school, and I don't have any friends. And yeah, so most of my life, I'm searching for identity and just some kind of stability. That's just how I remember growing up, like really craving other people's approval for who I was, what I was doing. And as I left high school, I joined the Marine Corps. And, you know, I have two strong feelings about the Marine Corps. One is it was good for me because it's structured and it's, you know, they give you a sense of identity. You know, there's the very strict conduct rules, and they dress you up in clean uniforms and nice haircuts. And, you know, they taught me a skill that I still have today that I use to provide for my family. I work on airplanes, by the way. And so that part of it was real, I would say even really good. But the other part is, and the part that I'm actually, like, I'm ashamed of things today. And it's, you know, it's not, I don't think I'm all that different, but the fact is I truly lived this out. It was part of my life. But, you know, for as much as they keep things structured in the Marine Corps, they also give you a lot of freedom to do your own things as well. And, you know, we're like 19 years old to 27 years old kind of guys. That's the group of guys I was around. So probably, likely not that much different than guys in the military today or even people at college and in that age group, right, when they're given freedom to go do what they want to do. So a whole lot of my life during that period of time was defined by partying and heavy drinking and chasing after girls. And I wasn't very good at chasing after girls. So I really was good at drinking a lot. That was my life. But then about halfway through my time in the Marine Corps, I was in the Marine Corps for 6 years. A friend of mine says, hey, you want to go to Clemson? It's a college town down in South Carolina. I was stationed in North Carolina, by the way. I said, yeah, sure, let's get away from here and go do something else. Let's get away from this place. So we go down to Clemson. I meet two people. I meet his cousin who's down there, and I meet a friend of hers, and her name is Jennifer. And from the day we met until today, we've either dated or been engaged, and now she's my wife, but one of the conditions, like I found out pretty quickly, of if I wanted to pursue a relationship with Jennifer, one of the things her family did and was part of their lives was they went to church. And I wasn't necessarily opposed to God. I wouldn't say I don't believe in God. Yeah, I don't think I ever said that. So maybe I'm thankful for that. I don't know. So I was like, yeah, I'll go to church. Why not? I believe in God. And so I did. So, but for me, I'm going to tell you right now, like for me, going to church was not that much different than joining the Marine Corps. It was just something I had added to my life. And this is the expected result of going to church, right? You do things, you act certain ways, you say certain things. Like I stopped cussing. That seemed like a good thing to stop doing, right? I was an usher, coached basketball. They had basket in the Methodist Church. That's where I went to start off, you know, over here in Malden. They had church basketball teams, so I coached little kids basketball. I thought, yeah, dude, I'm doing this Christian thing. But here's what I know, and it actually became very apparent to me at some point. I knew that I hadn't ever truly experienced forgiveness or God's love for me. I knew that was true. And God used several events in my life to bring me to the point where I can tell you a story real quick of a guy that was, man, he's such a good brother, and we're still friends today. But I think he recognized this in me. I think he understood that was probably true of me. And so he would always constantly ask me questions and press into me, you know, questions about the gospel and God's forgiveness and my sin. And I remember telling Perry one day, I said, I was like, Perry, Perry, I just don't believe God can ever forgive my sins. And so with that, I'd like to get into the second half of the scripture passage we looked at, Ephesians 2. But now we get to look at verses 4 through 6. If you notice the first two words there, Paul had described us in a pretty unlikable condition, right? Dead in sin, deserving of God's wrath. But it doesn't stop there. Matter of fact, it says, but God, which means God acts. God has something to say about my story. And so how I just described myself was not the end. Let's read this real quick. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So in December of 2011, I actually know the date specifically, but it was a Sunday morning in the middle of the night, right? In the middle of the night, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, I don't know. But I was startled from my sleep, like immediately wide awake in my sleep. And I've told this story a few times. This is not my third group of people to tell it to, and I'm going to tell it the exact same way. I don't have any category to put this in. I don't know how to define it exactly. I'm just going to tell you how I experienced it. And I audibly heard these words. I will show you something today. Well, now I'm certainly not going back to sleep because that's something I had never experienced before. That was completely new to me. So I'm wide awake, 3 o'clock in the morning. It's a Sunday morning, you know, we eventually get ready and go to church that morning. Nothing out of the ordinary happened then. Sunday in December, which means at that point in time, I was coaching basketball. And on Saturdays, we would play games. And on Sundays, we'd have practice. So we had practice after church, you know. Nothing crazy happened then either. It seemed pretty normal. Still highly aware of what had happened earlier in my day, right? But I was going to Sunday school and I was with a group of people there, and I had signed up in previous weeks to go to Triune Mercy Center. And on Sundays, and they may do it other days of the week, I'm not sure, but they serve meals to the homeless, and I had signed up to go do that. So I get there that afternoon, and I'm kind of standing around. I'm kind of feeling out of place, but I see a friend of mine over here, so I kind of, you know, go over here next to him, right? Everybody knows about, like, I need a friend to hang around with, so I did. I said, hey, so what do you normally do? He said, usually I just take the tea or the drinks, and I go around the tables, and I fill up people's drinks. I said, all right, let's do that together. So we did that together, which meant that put me in a position to not just be there, but to be around and amongst people, right? And to see people and their lives. As I mentioned, this is a meal for the homeless, right? And I'm walking around and I'm noticing things and I'm seeing things. It's not hard to tell. It's not hard at all, really, if you just look, that some of these people may have been newly homeless. Some of them probably have been doing it quite a while. This person likely came from this background. This person came from another completely different background. And so it seemed that this thing didn't really discriminate, right? But I noticed they all had one thing in common. Every last one of them, every person in there that was taking the meal for themselves, right? They all had their own bag, their own personal bag or backpack or whatever you want to call it. And I noticed that was likely all of their things. You know, their entire life in a bag. with them. And then something like really started to affect me. I had this feeling of compassion for other people I had never had before. It was a bit overwhelming. And I began to realize and think through this and this feeling I was experiencing. And I had seen, or I began to see, how much mercy God had on me. And it probably at that moment in time, it was just like material things, like God had blessed me with this instead of giving me this, right? And I realized that at any moment, many, many, many choices could have put me in the same place that those folks were. And quite honestly, in my life, worse than that condition. But he had mercy on me. And then, as I was thinking through that, I started to see a greater mercy I hadn't seen before. I began to consider this thing I'd heard a few times, that Jesus died for sinners. He took our punishment. And I began to consider, is that true? And the more I thought, I considered, and had these feelings of compassion for people, I realized it was true. It was true. Jesus died for sinners like me. So the meal finishes up, and I go to my car, and I don't know what to do. I just start praying, and I start telling God, I'm sorry for my life. I'm sorry for who I was. I can see now, though, that you love me. I can see that Christ Jesus died for my sins. And I just want to love you back. So I surrendered my life to Christ that day. I don't ever need notes for that part. Now, 2 weeks ago, or was it 3 weeks ago, I spoke to the high school students, and I like wanted to wrap up like by encouraging them in their faith, and I did. But something's been pressing into me this week, and some new things have happened to me within the last week. And I wanted to kind of share some of that stuff with you, and then ask y'all some questions. Just ask some questions of y'all. Not quite a week ago, the very last Monday, my grandmother died. She was one of the last, like, three people in my family alive. I have two sisters and my grandma. And about 3 or 4 days before Monday, my sister called me and said, hey, you know, grandma's, you know, she's dying. And I knew right away, like, I needed to go. Like, there was no doubt in my mind I needed to go. And so I made all the arrangements I could make as quickly as possible. And the very next morning, at like 5 in the morning, I left for Tennessee. I had to see my grandma. And I kept telling myself, I want to go because I want to hug her neck one last time, right? But the whole way there, I'm also praying and just asking God, like, how would you lead me into this situation? What would you have me to do or to say? Keep me from speaking too much and keep me from not saying enough, right? Whatever it might be. And so I get there and it's like, man, it's so good to see her. I got to see her. I got to hug her. I got to talk to her, right? But it turns out that week prior, she had started asking my sister's questions. And I don't know that they were completely prepared for it, because I don't know that me and my sisters, that is, I don't know that we have all the same beliefs, and I don't know. I just don't know some of that. But the question she was asking was about sin and forgiveness. So here she is. She's in the last week of her life, right? She's 89 years old, been blessed with pretty good health most of her life. And at the very end of her life, she's confronted with this question. She understands she doesn't have peace with God. So I was given an opportunity to be there with her and talk to her, just tell her how much I love her and be around her. And we got into a conversation. It was limited because, like I said, she was in her last days and speech was hard for her. And when she tried to talk, she would start coughing often. And, you know, it was difficult. So you only had time for a limited amount of words. And what was coming out of her mouth was very limited as well. But there was a moment where she looks at me, right? And she says, Bob. She says, I've confessed my sins to God. I said, that's good. That's good. But I can still see there's, you know, and you can see people in their eyes, right? You can see that there's still a question mark. Well, she didn't know, right? She didn't know. She still wondered. She still was lacking peace, I believe. It's like, oh. So I just started like praying, right? What words of truth can you speak through me right now to give to her? I knew it had to be simple. Like, I didn't have a time to build up, take away 89 years or whatever she knew and build up a whole new theology and lead her to Christ, right? I just had to give her something right now that she could cling to. And that if she were to truly cling to that, that would be enough. So I just said, trust Jesus with your life, and he will take you home. And then before I left later, the next day, she asked me to pray with her, and I got to pray with her, and that was so good. It was such a good experience to be there and to talk to her and to see her and to do that. And then on Monday, like I said, my sister called me early in the morning. It was like 5:00. She said, Grandma passed away this morning. She said, but there's something I wanted to tell you. I was like, okay. And she said, on Saturday, the day after you left, it was a particularly rough day. It was a tough day. You understand, people are sick and getting close to death. Some days are just not very good, right? But they were kind of wrapping up the day and kind of getting Grandma cleaned up and ready for bed and getting ready to put her in the bed. I got her kind of laid down. And Grandma starts singing. Now listen to me. I've never ever once in my entire life ever remember my Grandma singing anything. Not one time. I don't have any memories of that. She starts singing. Right? I think it shocked my sisters as well, right? But then, in the middle of her singing, she starts coughing, and it's one of those, you know, where it's really bad. And so a lot of times when that would happen, like, she'd be so exhausted after coughing that most of the time she'd just fall back asleep, and she'd go to sleep. And it was near, you know, that was kind of what they were trying to do at the moment anyhow, was get her to go to sleep. So they figured, oh, that's kind of the end of that. But as she, like, recovered, she starts back in and starts singing again. And she's singing to Jesus, y'all. So I now can believe that she likely found peace with God, right? She likely found forgiveness she was searching for. It seems to me to be an appropriate response when you find forgiveness and grace and mercy that you had been searching for, to respond with joy in singing, right? That seems appropriate. So now most of y'all are like, whoa, that's a good story, but how in the world does that apply to my life right now? I told you I was going to ask you some questions about it, and so I'm going to. The first question I have to ask is the same question. It's not this, I didn't tell her a question. I kind of gave her a statement, right? But it likely helped to change her life. Remember I told her, I said, trust Jesus with your life, right? So I ask you all that. I ask you all, are you trusting Jesus right now with your lives? Right now. Yeah, and I fully understand that you can listen to my story and say God is powerful and good, and He brought you out of sin and your life of what you're leading into relationship with Him, and He is awesome and mighty to save, and He is. And I have that story, right? But the truth is, am I trusting Jesus with my life right now? Same as y'all right now. And for those of you that are, man, I'm so encouraged by it, because I get to be around middle schoolers, I get to be around high schoolers, and I love it. I love to see how God works in the next generation. I love it. But now I have a question for y'all. Just like He, with open hands, right? I pray to God, I don't know how you would use me in this moment in time. But what is He preparing for you? Like whose life right now does He want you to speak life into? Does He want you to give some truth to somebody about? Who does He want you to press into with questions about the gospel? Who in your life doesn't know forgiveness and peace with God? Right now. That just happened a week ago for me. Right? I've been walking with Jesus now for 7 years, and I've had opportunities, and I cherish every one of them. Every one of them that I get to just tell about how good Jesus is and how good He's been to me, right? Just want to encourage y'all to do the same. Man, y'all have been so, so good. I love just... It's awesome to see you listen and take this in. And I thank you. Thank you for your patience with me.